Hey, Chiefs fans! How you doing? October 13th, we're going for a Guinness Book of World Record for loudest crowd roar. When you show up, make sure you get some styrofoam earplugs here. Roll them up and put them in your ears like this, right? And then when the time's right, let it fly. Hey, and after we get that record, maybe we also get the record for sexiest roar, huh?
Giants having some trouble hearing where the noise is just so loud in that end zone. It looks like Eli Manning's having a hard time hearing the play.
The Chiefs are 5-0. Mitch Holthus with you along with the snapper, 15-year NFL veteran, Pro Bowl long snapper, Kendall Gammon. Okay, we saw Rob Riggle. What'd you see there from our man?
Comedic genius, because what that was doing, it was showing you that don't mouth it on Sunday. You've actually got to have the sound come out, and that's what he was going with. And Rob, I mean, he's just got this way of thinking to do things, so yeah. Rob's kind of on his game, though. You got to love him. He tweets all the time. He is a big Chiefs fan.
Did you just go office pop on me or in the face? In the face.
My life is one big movie quote.
All right, let's get in. It's Raiders week, and let's just talk about that first and foremost. We'll get to the Tennessee game in a second. But the Raiders rivalry, you played for this team from 2000 to 2006. You grew up in this area. The old AFL history, what about the Chiefs-Raiders rivalry?
I'm going to tell you what, it does not matter what the records are. If you're 0-6, 6-0, 5-0, 4-1, whatever it is, whatever team, for whatever reason, you go back so many years, and it's just one of those things that's pretty ugly. I mean, you've got the Donkeys, obviously, that are leading the division, and that's a big rivalry, but it's not the same as Raiderick. There's just a genuine dislike between the two organizations, and quite honestly, that's a good thing. I think it's great for football. It's going to be great for fans. When we talk about what the Chiefs fans are trying to do this week, I can't think of a better team to do it against.
And what they're trying to do is break an all-time world record for sound in a stadium, really capturing a world record, not just an NFL record. We're going to get into that in a second. Have you fully comprehended what 137 decibels of sound could be in that stadium?
I'm going to fully comprehend it because I'll be down on the sidelines and hearing it. And certainly I've been down there before for the 7 years that I was here with the Chiefs. And then several times when I played for the Steelers and the Saints coming here. It's a difficult place. That commercial in terms of the Chiefs fans, the audible, you only hear what they want you to hear. That's never going to be more prevalent than it is this week. And if I'm on the Raiders, I don't want to be Terrell Pryor because you're going to be given hand signals all day long.
Well, the Raiders are in town, but for the Chiefs to be 5-0, it has been, just like if they're going to beat the Raiders, it's going to be complimentary football. And if you, when you study the Kansas City Chiefs 5-0 start, and people have applauded them, they've said, you know, they've shown, looked at their weaknesses. Kendall, how much has it been the epitome or the resume of the term complimentary football?
You know what, I think that does describe it very well, Mitch, because you look at the fact that the defense is taking the ball away, giving a short field many times with those takeaways. Offense is taking advantage of it. Special teams scoring some, getting some scores rather, certainly none bigger than the one by Marcus Cooper this week in the end zone after that muffed punt. Just in general, everybody taking advantage of what's going on. Now, there's a lot of room, as you said, to grow, and Coach Reed has talked about that. But right now, they're doing some really special things on all three aspects, playing off of each other. And I'm going to tell you, that was Tennessee the prettiest win? Probably not. But they did some good things that made a difference at the right time. And I'm going to tell you right now, and they would deflect it. but the coaching that's going on right now, folks. The coaching that's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs is fabulous. And again, they'll deflect it, but they're doing a wonderful job.
Yeah, it's an exceptional job. Now, let's just jump back to the Tennessee game, a 26-17 victory. As the Chiefs go in expecting a street fight, we talked about it last week on Chiefs Live, it turned into exactly that, a tough physical win over a tough physical team. And what did you see early in this game?
Well, you know what? I like the fact that you got different people involved. I'm not so certain that they expected to see five wides right off the bat. We knew right there with the defensive line coming that you were going to have to deal with the pressure of that defensive line. You and I both thought that it was a strength. But you talk about quieting a crowd down. And right here, when the ball hits him on the leg right there and Cooper does a great job coming in, that's a cardinal sin. You guys came down to me on the sideline. When the ball goes on the ground, you get away from it. And the other thing is, when the ball's in the air, you've got to locate it, both on offense and on defense. They misstepped them both. To get a 7-0 lead like that was just wonderful.
And here an opportunity for Kansas City. They threw it deep in this game a couple times. This was one of two 40-plus plays to Avery. The other one was back near the goal line. But we're seeing this now for two straight weeks. The Chiefs have kind of opened things up. And what about the ability to get some chunk plays?
It's great because McGrath had a 25-yard reception also, and we saw him earlier with that reception. So you had Avery at 44, 41, and McGrath at 25. We talked about it last week. You can't always grind it out 10 and 12 plays. You'd like to hold on to the ball, but the fact is you've got to get chunks, and this is something we're seeing the Chiefs do more and more of. So, wow. And right there, scary moment. You never like to see the ball on the ground. But I'm telling you, from my aspect, given the choice of him bracing himself to make sure that knee doesn't go or letting the ball down, I'm going to go with living to fight another day.
Yeah, I said one of the MVPs of the game was whoever did his ACL surgery because they did a fabulous job. That looked like an ACL. Now, this one of the tumors of the Chiefs' defense has been giving up some long runs. This one was surprisingly a 37-yard run from former Chief Jackie Battle.
Yeah, you're right, and it has been an issue. And this happened all day, by the way, also, is you get close to Fitzpatrick, and then he becomes Houdini, and he gets out of it. But in general, that is something, the chunks that on the run game that the Chiefs have given up. But the fact is, lots of times, they're making the play before the guy gets to the end zone, and they're giving the defense a chance to line up. And then you let the general, Bob Sutton, go to work and get something going. And then all of a sudden you get things like this happening where you have goal line stands that are just, quite honestly, unbelievable.
People forget to hold it fourth and one is remarkable in the NFL. Tennessee had first and goal at the one. Now, at their own 4-inch line, why not just dial up a 40-plus yarder to Avery?
That's great, because when I walked in with Coach Reed at halftime and said some things about the offense, and he said, gosh dang, Kendall, he goes, I got to give them better plays. I got to put them in position. Well, meanwhile, though, if you ask him about the play where he throws out of the end zone, which is genius, and you get the 41 yards, he'd just say, well, no, that's the guy's making plays. That's the type of guy he is. But, again, here, as you see Sherman catching the ball and not going down, the fact is they're spreading the ball out in the pass game. I like that as well.
Well, the Chiefs, four field goals from Succop, including the moneymaker at the end, which gave them a two-possession lead, a really hard-fought win. But, again, to kind of put the stats to this complimentary football thing, the offense, which is, you know, it's kind of been up and down, had its moments, third down, only converted one in the Tennessee game. But they're number one in the NFL in time – I'm sorry, number two in the NFL in time of possession. Only New Orleans is better. But if you want to protect a defense, you minimize the number of snaps another team gets the ball. What about being second in the league in time of possession?
Well, it's huge. Turnovers and time of possession, to me, are the most important things. And the Chiefs, number two in time of possession, number one in forcing turnovers and turnover ratio. It's a simple thing. I'm not a smart guy, but I know that if you have the ball, you can score. Quite honestly, right now with the Chiefs, if you don't have the ball, you might score also, which is a good thing because this defense that Chiefs have going is special. But again, when you can control the clock like they are at 33 minutes roughly, that's big because it becomes to a degree deflating. And it's really impressive in this last game and how they did things because they had the ball for 31 minutes, but they darn near only had the ball maybe just a little bit over 2 minutes in that third quarter. So to do that with that third quarter the way it was even more impressive, I think.
Here are the game stats as we close the book on Tennessee, though, as we take a look at the win statistically in the 26-17 over the Titans. One thing that's also been impressive is the fact that now five straight weeks, really, they've outscored, I mean, they've won the fourth quarter. They haven't outscored the opponent four out of the 5 weeks, but it's like 47-17. But they've been the better team in the fourth quarter. To do that now for over a month, how impressive is that?
That's very impressive, because you couple that with the fact that they're scoring the most points in the first quarter, too. So they're getting out to a lead, and when you make the other team play from behind, you start to stress them in terms of what they want to do. And I thought another thing that we haven't talked about a lot with Tennessee, I thought this was their first real road test in terms of the stadium being loud. Let's face it, when they went to Philadelphia on Thursday, a lot of emotion. But they took them out of that game very, very quickly. And Jacksonville, there was only five people at Jacksonville, so that wasn't a big test in terms of the crowd noise. But with this Tennessee game, they had it going. There's no doubt about it. And you know what? Chiefs responded.
Well, let's take a look at some of this defensive efficiency. In many ways, this is the best defensive team in the National Football League. Now, what do you see here? Some of this we've already talked about, but they're at the top of the league in a lot of these stats.
I'm going to tell you right now, the one that stands out right now is the 21 sacks. You see that 27 total last year. And the fact is, if you've got 21, you've probably knocked the quarterback down several more times and pressured him several more times. And to me, that's where it leads to the turnovers from the interception side of things. Second in average starting field position, 22.4 yard line. That comes about because you're getting those interceptions farther up the field, and certainly special teams doing a good job on kickoff return. They're tops in the league, I believe, starting at the 23-yard line after kickoffs. Three and out drives, that's a big one because when you get them off the field, I believe they had 5 3 and outs in the first half. That's huge. And then points allowed. When it comes down to it, it's about points allowed, folks. And right now, 56 total points allowed is stupendous. I mean, you're looking for adjectives to describe it.
But again, the complementary football aspect, the team that's number one in the NFL in time of possession. But when you're third in defense and three and outs, it means once the opponent gets it back, you're getting them off the field. And there's your whole complementary. And then your field position stat is very impressive.
Well, you're right, and it becomes psychological because now all of a sudden you know that you're not hanging on to the ball very long. And then the other thing that happens is that side of the ball that's out there, the defense, they start to get tired. And that helps your offense, certainly.
Saw Cooper's interception there. This team, again, plus 10 in the giveaway takeaway. That's the best in the National Football League, a polar opposite of a year ago at this time. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, Andy Reid said there's things to work on. The biggest one, and the one that jumped out in the Tennessee game, was the third down efficiency. To only get one third down and convert it on the road and win the game by nine is also impressive. Where do you see the improvement this week on third down?
Well, you've got to do better than that. I mean, you can look at it a couple different ways, and the fact that you only convert one time on third down, yet you win the game like you did. But the fact is, you can't make hay the entire season if you do that. So they've got to continually improve upon that. I like the fact that, not that I want to be, as a Chiefs fan, looking at things that aren't going well, but as a coach, when you can throw some things down here and said, listen, we're 5-0, but folks, we have not arrived. We're doing a lot of things not as well as we need to be doing because we're going to play some more quality teams. You've got room to grow, and that's something that I know Coach Reid is preaching inside the halls.
Well, let's take a look. It's one of the sermons. Andy Reid addressed it earlier this week, saying there's things to work on for the Raiders.
Things we've got to work on. We've got to work on a few things offensively. Red zone, we were only one of four there, and we've got to do a better job there. We stalled on a couple drives, and we're normally better than that, so we've got to take care of business down there when you're given an opportunity. Our third down efficiency was terrible. We were one for 12, and you can't make a living doing that, right? So you got to make sure that you're more efficient on third down. You got to shorten the third downs down a little bit yardage-wise, too. You start hitting some of these third and a gazillion that you don't have a lot of calls for those particular spots. So you got to keep your third downs manageable. And I think we did a very good job of that yesterday. And that's my responsibility to make sure that we're in those positions there. So.
You can see a guy that's still on task to try to improve this team to try to get to 6-0. We always love to get your feedback, what's on your mind, and we got one here from, she used to be known as She Fan, but Dina in San Diego wants to know about Dontari Poe, and people are merging now. This, he is emerging into one of the most impact defensive guys in the entire National Football League.
Yeah, 6'3", 348. I talk about it all the time. But as you see right there, 19 tackles through five games. Folks, again, right below it, 38 total tackles during 2012. No sacks last year, or actually maybe one against Cam. I forget whether he got credited with that or not. But 4.5 sacks. But what I'm seeing is the fact that you're having to put two people on him. He demands that. He, to me, right now, Mitch, he's playing the best at nose tackle in his position in the league right now, and that's freeing up other people to do good things. And what I like also is some of the unseen things that not only he's doing, but the other defensive linemen are doing, which is getting up the field, penetrating a little bit. Then you're seeing Akeem and you're seeing DJ make those fits and doing a good job of stopping the run game. And just really, it's a total team effort. And watching him, like on the goal line stand, one time he goes down, he takes the right guard's knees out from under him, which unfortunately as a former offensive lineman, I'm aware of, they try to do sometimes. Then all of a sudden the next play, he swats the guy and goes and he sacks him. So he's doing different things, obviously in terms of what's being asked of him, and that messes people up, but he's a total package because to get a nose tackle, to be able to rush the passer like he does, and the fact that he stays in on the sub packages, huge.
Well, he's improved so much physically as well as mentally and emotionally. This guy really turning into one of the great players in the National Football League. When we come back, though, you might have Don Terry Poe doing this during the Raiders game because we're going to get into a fascinating subject. The Chiefs are trying to reestablish Arrowhead Stadium as the loudest stadium not only in the NFL but in the world. We come back to talk about it as the Chiefs try to break the record. We'll be back after this on this edition of our Midwest Ford Dealers Chiefs Live Show.
Nobody is sitting. The entire place is standing up. He's being chased. He spins around. He's sacked. He's sacked by Derek Thomas.
You remember that moment. No place was greater. No place was louder. You knew. Everyone knew. This is the loudest stadium. It was a right you earned and defended. But on September 15th, it was taken away. Remember the moment you take it back.
This is a tunnel, but not everyone can enter. The men who gather here have a kingdom to honor, a home to defend. And come Sunday, there's no place they'd rather be. This is the Players Tunnel at Arrowhead. Just a few short steps from glory.
Welcome back to this special edition of Chiefs Live, brought to you by your Midwest Ford dealers. Okay, now it's our job to get you fired up. First of all, the Chiefs have lost to the Raiders six straight times at home. That ought to curl your hair. And secondly, the Chiefs fans are going to try to set a record. The Chiefs organization supporting the Chiefs fans here. This is Zach Aaron, the game day audio engineer. Zach, welcome to the set.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, let's just lay it out here. The Chiefs fans are going to try to set a Guinness Book of World Record for loudest stadium ever.
That's correct.
Fill us in. What's going to happen?
What's going to happen is we have to beat the current Seattle record of 136.6 decibels. So we have to achieve a level of 136.7 or louder.
Okay, first of all, I'm impressed with the folks in Istanbul, Turkey. They, in 2011, it's in the Guinness Book that they had a 131 rating. So yeah. Thanks to the Turkish people, you got this thing going. But let's be honest, is this even possible? Can you get to 137 decibels?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think the Chiefs fans can absolutely pull this off at the next Raiders game. We have spent the last two or three games collecting data from around the stadium during game time, and we do know that their best chance is definitely tied to attendance. And so if you're there, it can happen.
Now, that being said, For any game in any competition, you always have a game plan of how to get things done. No better team to be allowed against than the Oakland Raiders, so I love that. But the fans are always loud, but is there something they can do to help them even be louder?
Well, a couple of tips for the fans for this upcoming game. Get a lot of rest. Your vocal apparatus needs to be able to sustain 4 or 5 hours of fatigue. And so get rest, stay hydrated, come ready to yell, and yell for a long time. Second of all, we advise you to stand instead of sitting. That unconstricts your diaphragm and lets you get more out of the pipes. Third, I think the best chance you really have as far as if you are in further proximity from the field, from the sideline, is to just utilize the old megaphone technique. Cup your hands around your mouth or, you know, use a placard to, in a sense, direct the sound to the field where it needs to be. And if you see us, yell in our direction. We'll be on field with measurement equipment, measuring the entire game, and we'll let you know as soon as the record's broken.
Now, Zach, again, we're talking with Zach Aaron, the game day engineer at Arrowhead Stadium. Are you going to have some kind of like a little siren on your head or something? Where are people going to know? How are they going to be able to find you to know?
Well, just look for this guy right here.
Right there.
This is the decibel meter, and this is what will be used to make history.
That's where the magic happens, what you're saying. Now, let's be honest here. Because Dan Israel, our Ken and I work with him. He's the chief, or the executive producer of the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network. 137 decibels, he says, is equivalent of standing 100 yards from a jet engine when it's on. What about precautions from the fans that is making this special, and what should they do?
Well, first of all, wear earplugs, and there will be earplugs provided at the game. And aside from that, I think that the best thing you can do is come prepared to participate in this, because it really does boil down to attendance and participation. And I think the Chiefs fans are very, very fired up about this, and we look forward to taking this measurement on behalf of them.
Well, this ought to be awesome. Now, you mentioned hydration. This might be a good tool for hydration, because fans, Kendall, can be, you know, they can use a variety of ways to hydrate.
Yeah. It's not always the best hydration going on before the game, so maybe at least a 1-to-1.
Zach, good luck. Get a good night's rest. I know we will. This will be fascinating to see if the Chiefs can become the loudest stadium in the world.
Thank you guys for having me.
Okay, here we go. The Chiefs are going to try to break the record. And again, the Chiefs fans are going to try to break this record. And again, Kendall, very interesting, 137 decibels. Can they pull this off?
Well, it's great. It's a win-win, because the fact is that when you're out there, and I've been out there on the other side of it also when I was with the Steelers or the Saints, you can literally be 2 to 3 yards away. And when Arrowhead is roaring, you can't hear yourself think. And that's a good thing if you put that on the Raiders as well.
So there you go. You've got the exhortation. Again, hashtag loud and proud. Spread the word via Twitter. Get on Facebook. And just connect to all your fans and say, hey, this is going to happen. But, again, it's no better team to break it against than the Raiders when you've lost to these guys 6 straight times at home. That needs to be done. So, Zach, thanks for being with us. And we want to get in and chat about the Raiders here just a little bit and talk about the this team. They're going to come in with a lot of confidence. This Oakland team now is better than people think. When I watched them against San Diego, I was impressed with the way their coaches and their schemes.
Well, there really are, and there's a lot of different matchups that we're going to see, and I think our own Rachel Sanchi is going to give us an update on that in terms of what to look for on Sunday and some of the key matchups that are going to come into play.
It's Raiders week. Everyone knows the bitterness and hatred that comes with the Chiefs and Raiders rivalry. Going all the way back to the days of Hank Stram and John Madden, it's been clear that these two teams do not like each other. You'll see on Sunday the intensity of this rivalry is still strong. Here are the three main focus points for Sunday's matchup. First, defending home field. The Raiders have won the last 6 games in Kansas City, a streak that Chiefs fans are desperate to see broken. The 2013 Chiefs have done a lot over these first 5 games to prove that they're a dominant force in the AFC. But taking care of business at home against the Raiders would be another huge step in the right direction for the Chiefs. Second, Terrell Pryor. A former heralded college star, Pryor fell from grace before his senior season after reported NCAA violations and was picked up by the Raiders in the 2011 supplemental draft. After riding the bench for much of the last 2 seasons, an improbable sequence of events has landed Pryor back in the starting role. And he hasn't been bad. He's led the Raiders to a 2-2 record as a starter and has a respectable 97.6 quarterback rating. Keeping track of the Raiders' dangerous new weapon will be a big key to the Chiefs' success on Sunday. Finally, 136.6 decibels. That was a noise level that gave the Seattle Seahawks the world record for the loudest stadium earlier this year. Just as competitive as the team they cheer for, Chiefs fans have been organizing en masse to set the record straight in Arrowhead's favor. Representatives from Guinness World Records will be on hand during Sunday's game, and the noise of the crowd will be measured throughout the day. So something more than field position will be on the line when the Raiders face their first third and long on Sunday afternoon. With an exciting 5-0 start to the 2013 season, there's been a lot to cheer about in Kansas City. Add a showdown against the hated Raiders and a chance to set the world record, and you can bet that Arrowhead will be as exciting as it's ever been come Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it's the Raiders. This is going to be good. But let's talk about this Raiders team. I mentioned they come with a lot of confidence. They were impressive against San Diego. What are you seeing from these guys?
You know what, Terrell Pryor and what he's doing at the QB, you and I have talked off air. I mean, it's Ohio State. I mean, if it were Oakland, I would assume that somebody's going to dot the I. so he's doing some good things. You see that long pass right there, which happened the very first play after they had the muffed punt. By San Diego, or no, rather, I guess that was the interception beforehand by Phillip. So, you know what? They're doing some good things. Defensively, they're fast. I think 9 of the 11 starters on defense are new, but Pryor's doing a nice job. You know, I think most people thought of him as a running QB, but this last game, I think he completed his first 10 passes in a row and has been doing some good things for him. And he's leading their team rushing yards, so he's the complete threat. You see right there with the option, he keeps it, and the fact is that keeps the backside defensive end either way at home. So now when he does give the ball, you don't have that pursuit. So the fact that he's so mobile and he extends play. So you've got the play, and then you've got the play after the play, because right here he kind of holds up a little bit, and then he hits the guy in the end zone again for a touchdown. That's Denarius, who I think has had some pretty big days in Arrowhead the last couple times that he's been here. So certainly he's somebody that the Chiefs have to watch out for.
And the quarterback run game, as you alluded to, yeah, Denarius Moore's had a 61-yard touchdown here and also a 58-yard touchdown or 58-yard reception last year. But the fact that Terrell Pryor has run it 38, 39 times, he's by far their leading rusher on attempts and production, but he's 68% in passing efficiency. That, to me, gets your attention. He's turning into an NFL quarterback.
Well, he is. He had 2 TDs last week, Mitch. He had 135.7 rating. I'm not sure if you can do any more than that. But, again, there, right there is the classic drop-back pass where he hits him deep on the go route. So he is that. And again, 37 rushes for 229 yards. He was 18 for 23, 221 yards last week. So he is that. That threat that makes it all go. When you look at him, 6'6", 232 pounds, that is a physical specimen, no doubt, because when it comes to it, and the reason I bring that up also is the fact of, as a defensive lineman grabbing onto him, you're really going to have to get hold of him to bring him down, because he can skirt, he can pull through some folks.
Yeah, and defensively, you alluded to it, this is almost a brand new defense, but Dennis Allen's doing a good job of coaching these guys. I want to ask you something that's unique. We've kind of alluded to this earlier, but and here they get the pick early against Phillip Rivers. Phillip with 1 L throws the pass deep. The Oakland has 6 of the 13 sacks from their DBs. What does that pose for the Chiefs' offensive protections and how that differs from what they've seen in the first 5 weeks?
Well, what that tells you, and again, this is a 4-3 defense you're going against, but what that tells you is they're disguising coverages to a degree, and they're bringing people off edges. They're getting overloads from one side to the other, and I haven't seen all the games, but I would tell you that most likely they're confusing the defense, and you got a D-back who's coming off the edge lots of times, probably unabated, and the fact is the QB has to find the hot receiver to go to. And basically that Oakland defense is betting that we can get to your QB quicker than your QB can find the open receiver. And the fact is, I'll take that bet with the number 11. Alex Smith doing a fabulous job this year.
And again, creating some turnovers. They're plus 2 in the giveaway takeaway. A lot of their giveaways, though, with Matt Flynn at quarterback. They've reduced those giveaways with Terrell Pryor being there. And he missed the Washington game due to a concussion. Here's another pick in the end zone from their first-round draft pick, D.J. Hayden. An interesting story because he nearly died on the practice field at the University of Houston. And then an old Chiefs nemesis, Charles Woodson, on his way to the Hall of Fame, getting that pick off. But Six straight home losses to the Oakland Raiders. I call them steering wheel pounders, because you take the palm of your hand and you whack your steering wheel in the middle of the spring when you think about it. It's time to break that streak.
You're right. And I know during my tenure here in the 7 years, I don't know how many times it came down to whoever scored last. It was that close. And there were several times where one team was decidedly better than the other, but it didn't matter. I mean, you just get up for these games for some reason. There is something special about it, folks. I can't explain it, but there's something special about it. And, you know, Coach Reed talked about it, that he gets it. And I like that he gets it. And the fact is, he gets a lot of things, and that's a good thing right now for Chiefs.
Well, let's hope the Chiefs get it. They hope they get a sixth win to go 6-0. Let's hope they get the all-time Guinness Book of World Record for the loudest stadium ever at 137 decibels as the Chiefs move on. He is the snapper, Kendall Gammon. I'm the voice, Mitch Holtis. Thanks for joining us on this Raiders Week edition of your Midwest Ford Dealers Chiefs Live Show.